help them put the chairs away. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be here. Let's hear it for the volunteers.
Hamilton's Rod and Gun military shoot is underway. Happy birthday to Lambertine Pudge. His birthday is April 26th. And he's not the only one. Birthdays today include Luke of Squirrel Hill from Mom and Dad and Brother Nate. Celia of Upper St. Clair also today, Laura Ann Mouse, Georgine of Mars, Jeremy from Jessica, Caitlin of Verona from your family, Killian of Gibsonia. Happy anniversary to Kurt and Annie. And happy anniversary to Annette and David. Tomorrow, Lexi of Conway has a birthday. Jim of Stanton Heights from daughter Terry. Elizabeth of South Park from daughter Susan. Son-in-law Patrick and grandson Michael. Mark of Mount Lebanon from Sharon, Colin, Kira, and Aiden. Coming up on Monday, we have Holly from Chad and Ryan and Drew. Ellen from Deborah of Mount Lebanon, Marco of Gibsonia, Seth of Wheeling, West Virginia, Audrey from your family. Also on April 25th, we have Sonnet of Gibsonia from Margaret and Charles, Tim of Upper St. Clair, Aaliyah from Kathy, Kevin, and Gabriel, Megan Eliza Wood from Kathy and Terry. I cannot believe you're 22. Caroline of Mount Lebanon for Mom, Dad, Michael, and Meredith. Ralph and Marianne have an anniversary on the 25th as well. Lori of Grove City celebrates on the 26th. So does Tobias of Baden. Annie of Regent Square from Charlie, Kimberly of Fonville, and Kathy Green of Butler from husband Jim and kids Shannon, and from Chad and Corey as well. Happy birthday to you. Thanks for bringing Chad to us. Happy birthday on the 27th to Prosper of Rosalind Farms, Stella of Newcastle, Grace from Ellen Claire, Ann and family, Aaron of the North Side, Shannon of North Fayette, and Robert of Aspinwall. On the 28th, we have Paul of Boardman, Ohio, from Ricky and me and all of your family, Kathy from David, Peter, Julia, Andrew, and Maria, Catherine from your family, Luke of Gibsonia, Arthur and twin brother Alan, also on the 28th, Eric of Rockland, Joe of Highland Park, Patty of Greene County, and Danny of Shaler on the 29th. This coming Friday, we have Noah of Fort Mill, South Carolina from Stephen. We have Gabriasis in Verona from Asrat. Juliana of Mount Lebanon from Naomi, Merritt of Lower Burl from Christine, Bill, Gavin, and Grandma Barbara, and Andy and Fenelton from your family.
SLB announces listener birthdays at 8:55 every week. Would you like to surprise a friend or family member? Just send us their birthday information and address, and SLB will mention their birthday on the radio the Saturday of or before it occurs, and send a card too. To add your birthday or surprise a friend or family member by adding theirs, visit slbradio.org/birthdays or write to us at slb@slbradio.org or P.O. Box 10092, Pittsburgh, PA 15233.
include the birthday person's address, and we will make sure they receive a handwritten, hand-delivered Saturday Light Brigade birthday card from a uniformed employee of the United States government. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP FM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, PCTV, Comcast 21, Verizon 47, Pittsburgh, and internet radio stations and streaming services everywhere, including slbradio.org/radio.
I'm just too excited.
You don't like my answers. I talk in circles cause I can't get straight. I do resemble what I can remember. I do remember cause it just can't wait. You know they say if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I know you think it's just a cool cliche. I know you always think you know what I'm always thinking. I think you're always wrong, but honey, that's okay.
And Tom Paxton with a tune called Runaway. Get ready, we're going to play Guess Who in just a moment. Guess what? We have a new affiliate I want to welcome. KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield Ghost Town, Phoenix. In Arizona, they join us today. Brand new radio station, too, at 90.7 FM It's always wonderful to see new community radio stations coming online. Thank you for being part of the Saturday Light Brigade family.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible in part with support from the Allegheny Regional Asset District, putting Allegheny County sales tax dollars to work in regional libraries, parks, sports facilities, and arts and culture programs. Learn more at radworkshere.org.
Now it's time to give you a chance to earn a Saturday Light Brigade charge. It's time to play Guess Who. We're about to give you a pair of initials, and it's up to you to guess who they belong to. Could be a man, a woman, somebody real, somebody fictitious, somebody living, somebody no longer living. Maybe it's somebody from the world of sports, film, television, Broadway, history, literature. We think it'll be a name you've heard before. This week's initials, J.B. J.B. That's J as in Juniata, and B as in Burgettstown. Those are not hints whatsoever, just a way to make sure you heard the letters correctly. J.B. You may call us and guess on or off the air. I will keep you posted as to how others are guessing. You can also text us the number to do either at which to do either. Harriet Panetta would tell me is 412-200-5975. She was the 12th grade English teacher that I could tell you some interesting stories about at Churchill Area High School. 412-200-5975 is how you can reach us. Nick, a New York City guest, Jim Brown, just now, not Jim Brown, but a great guest. 412-200-5975, JB. This morning's Guess Who initials. I'll let you know a few others here. Oh, Leslie, good morning. Leslie is in Oakland. John Brown, also guessed by Nick in New York. As well as Jim Backus. Jim Backus. I could work on that a little bit, couldn't I? Thurston Howell III, as well as Mr. Magoo and many other characters. Great comic actor. Not Jim Backus. 412-200-5975. Jerome Bettis, just guessed by Mike and Mars. Nick in New York. This one I don't know, you just guessed. He guessed Jim Broadbent. Who played John Bailey. In the film Iris. Which is a four-letter word starting with I, bringing us a full circle this morning. It's not Jim Broadbent. Great guess. Chaplain Steve has a guess of Jan Brady, Jim Beam, John Brown, and James Brown. Great guesses. Oh my goodness, here come a whole lot more. Bear with me here. I'm getting ready to give you some additional answers. Some additional guesses. James Bond. Bond, James Bond from Mike and Mars. Not James Bond. Angie has Jerry Brown. Not Jerry Brown. Jack Black from Nick in New York City. Jeremy Brett from Mike and Mars. Another Jerome Bettis. I do need to know who Jeremy Brett is. Do you know who that is? Why? a British actor who played Sherlock Holmes in a number of episodes in an adaptation of Sherlock Holmes. Jim in Blackridge has Jimmy Buffett. And Joan Blondell, and it could be Jim in Blackridge for that matter, but it's not. Kathy says, Jack Best, my grandson. Hello, Jack. Your grandma guessed you for guess who? 412-200-5975. Jackson Brown and Joan Blondell, just kissed by Jim in Crafton Heights. Jim Bowie, or Jim Bowie, that is, from Jim in Blackridge. Linda has a guess of James Brown and Jeb Bush. Angie has Judy Blume, great guess. Bruce has John Wilkes Booth, Josephine Baker, Jimmy Buffett, Joan Baez, and James Brown. Jim also has Jimmy Buffett. Kathy has Joan Baez. And Nick in New York City has Justin Bieber, not him, and Jeff Bezos from granddaughter Allegra, granddaughter of Mark. And granddaughter Allegra says, everybody knows it's got to be Jeff Bezos. Mary Jean thought maybe Jacqueline Bisset. And Mark has a guess of Jeff Bridges, son of Lloyd Bridges. That's not it either. Some additional guesses. Nick in New York City, you're close. You're so, so close with your answer. So close, I'm not going to acknowledge it by name. Josh Brolin, guessed by Jim in Crafton Heights. And Nick, you're just a stone's throw away from it. Mike and Mars guessed Jingle Bells. Nick in New York City just got it. We'll leave it open for a while, though. 412-200-5975. JB, this morning's Guess Who initials. No hints just yet. We'll let you continue to guess.
My old man was born on the north side. Lived in north side all his life. He took the Pirates for his ball team. Took my mother for his wife. My old man, he raised six children. He raised them right and he raised them well. My old man went to Mass on Sunday, but Saturday night he sure raised hell. And he said, son, remember, always do the best you can. This world's just not the same without my old man. My old man, he fought in Korea. My old man, he came back home. My old man, he stood for something. Oh, lots of times he stood alone. My old man, he worked the ovens. My old man was a man of steel. Let you know just what he thought. Let you know just what was real. And he said, son, remember, always do the best you can. This world's just not the same without my old man. In 79, the Pirates took the series. They tore down his old mill to build a wall. Right out of the river. This ain't the town. My old man knew it all.
man, he got too angry. My old man would stomp and shout, you know, he ate and he drank and he laughed too much, till one day his old heart gave out. My old man lies on the hillside, high above the river mill. He tore the heart right out of Pittsburgh. My old man, I hear him still. When I say, son, remember, always do the best you can. Let's go and catch a game. Life seems so damn tame. This world's just not the same without my old man.
John McCutcheon at the Saturday Light Brigade and My Old Man. Joey Bishop. What a great guest, Joey Bishop. That just coming in from Martha and Bill in Stanton Heights, who were nice enough to come to my official coronation as the Mardi Gras King of the North Side. I kid you not. That was such a fun night that we had, and I'm glad you were willing to come out to celebrate with us. 412-200-5975. I have a lot more in terms of guesses to acknowledge, and I hope we'll have your guess as well. We're playing Guess Who. The initials we're playing with right now are JB. JB, 412-200-5975. So let me get right to our guesses here. Joey Bishop, that from Martha and Bill. Larry in Chicago, visiting a friend. His friend guessed Jim Burns. Not Jim Burns, but that's the name of the friend, actually, that they're visiting, Jim Burns. Aline in Maine is the first one to guess these two presidents, James Buchanan and Joe Biden. Neither of those. Bill has a guess of John Barleycorn and Jack Benny. Listening with wife Martha in Stanton Heights, Linda has Janet Blair and James Brolin. So far, it's just Nick in New York City that has the correct answer. Jeff in Maine has a guess of Jim Backus. And Mike's got another one. He's going to make me look up. Why, it's the Canadian American television hostess, sportscaster, and radio personality, Jillian Barbary. Or Barbary. Mike, you're killing me here. Another one, Jose Bautista? Jose Bautista, right fielder and third baseman. Another great guess. We'll count that, Mike. Of course we will. 412-200-5975. Justin Bieber and Johann Brahms. And Nick in West Mifflin. Nick, you're doing a great job today. He has Jethro Bodine. Not Jethro Bodine, nor is it Jeff Black. 412-200-5975. I'll tell you that our... Do you want a hint? I'll tell you... how shall I give you a hint? Well, here are some more guesses before I do so. Johnny Bench, great guess from Bruce. And an actress Bruce says is one of his favorites. Juliette Binoche, I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly. Johnny Bench, that made me think of when I was a kid. Johnny Bench started to advertise something called a pitchback. Does anybody else remember that? Pitchback, you would basically throw a baseball against this webbed net with a framework, really, of maybe 3 feet by 3 feet. And there was this tight net against it that was resilient enough. So you would try to throw at the strike zone or, you know, basically it was the surrogate catcher, Johnny Bench, and the ball would come back at you after you threw it and you would catch it. And it became your best friend. And I really wanted one of those, and I got one, thanks to my parents. Wonder if they still make those. The pitchback is what it was called. Not Jeb Bush. Ruth in Greenfield just guessed Jeb Bush. 412-200-5975. James Bartholomew is not the correct answer. Nor is it Jacqueline Bouvier. Great guess. Or Jackie Bissette, J.S. Bach, guest by Chaplain Steve, Charlie in Morningside. Good morning, Charlie, says Jack Black or John Brown. Great guesses. Nick says we had a pitchback. I'm glad I'm not the only one. I loved that. That was, it was sort of like what you threw the ball against if, and now that I think about it, my dad probably got me that so I would quit throwing balls against the garage door. You know, a pitchback would allow you to do that. Jim in Crafton Heights has Jacqueline Bissette. Okay, I will tell you that we're looking for an actor, and it's a contemporary actor. I think that should probably be enough. 412-200-5975. And Ted in Baldwin says he had a pitchback too. Oh, and he also had the Johnny Bench brand batter up. I can't remember how that worked. I'm looking for it. Oh, I remember this. I'm Johnny Bench, and I love to hit. And it was a batting training device. I forgot how much of an entrepreneur Johnny Bench was. 412-200-5975. So our JB is an actor and a contemporary actor at that. And one of his current roles is playing a character with the initials MB. I had to think for a minute. MB. And he also has an acting sister with the same initials, JB. He is his identically monogrammed sister's kid brother, both with the initials JB, both actors. 412-200-5975. Here come a lot of answers. James Brown, guessed by Gerald in Indiana. Cheeseburger, 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 he writes, as in John Belushi. That's the first guess of John Belushi, and a great guess, 412-200-5975. Linda says, Fred had a pitchback in his backyard. It was a brick wall. This was a tough one today. Mick in St. Clair wanted to know if the actor drank Jim Beam, and he had a pitchback as well. Bruce didn't have a pitchback. And he mentioned the red line with the strike zone on it. That's right. There was a way you could get at the strike zone. He also gets Jack Black. RJ. Good morning, RJ. On Sharps Hill, RJ got the correct answer. So far, Nick in New York City and RJ on Sharps Hill are the only people to correctly identify our guess who this morning. Gerald in Indiana just got it. We were looking for the male that you guessed. Too many hints, he writes. Well, just a few. But you got it. Well done. And Bill in Homer City got it. We were looking for Jason Bateman, actor Jason Bateman. And I have to admit, that was a personal pick. Ricky and I have been watching Jason Bateman in the Netflix series called Ozark. I've always liked Jason Bateman. He was in Arrested Development. And he was also, I think he was in a show called It's Your Move. And I'm going to check. Yes, It's Your Move, which I can't believe it. I'm just looking. It was a series that lasted 6 months, I think. It lasted just a little bit longer than CNN Plus. It's Your Move from September 1984 to February 1985. And I always thought he was a great comic actor in that show. He played Michael Bluth in Arrested Development and currently plays MB Marty Bird in the series Ozark. And while that series has a little bit of gore, it's a great program, and I think the plot points are really good. And how would you like to have Paul Anka as a father-in-law? Well, that's the case for Jason Bateman. He married Amanda Anka in 2001. He has two children, so it's possible that his father-in-law said, "You're having my grandbaby." What a wonderful way of saying that I love you. Mick in St. Clair said Jethro and Jethreen Bodine. And Chaplain Steve said that he had a crush on Justine Bateman, the older sister of Jason Bateman. The Saturday Light Brigade charge to you. If you came up with Jason Bateman, thank you for playing along with us today. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings on a great network of community radio stations and internet radio stations and streaming services, including Tube City Online at WMCK.FM, McKeesport, KRD. P Indie Radio at listen2krdp.com, Loudspeaker 1, Fort Collins, Colorado. The Audio Now Network at area code 515-605-9542. Listen by phone. Tune in Simple Radio, Streama, Radio Garden, and other services, including slbradio.org/radio. While we have a minute, why don't you call us if you had one of those legendary toys like a pitchback or the Johnny Bench batter up, or maybe an easy bake oven. Or, Ricky, what was that thing you really liked that you had, the creepy crawler maker machine or something like that, where you, I know the critical ingredient was plastic goop, right? It was kind of a prehistoric 3D printer. Do you have any toys like that in your childhood? One of my favorites was the Radio Shack 50-in-1 kit, which contained all these electronic components like diodes and resistors and capacitors and more that you could connect by inserting wires into springs. All of the leads were numbered. And if you were lucky, you could make something like a working buzzer that you could really annoy your parents with constant buzz, buzz, buzz sounds, or you could make a radio and a bunch of other things. Do you have memories of a toy like that? Why don't you call us, join us on the radio, 412-200-5975.
Been through a lot of things these days, but you're heaven in the clouds somewhere. God been looking out, I say, sun out, feeling life might change. Showing love, dripping sauce might slip, moving fast, but you make it look great. So put the drama out tonight, baby, baby, keep your head up high.
Youngstown just dropped us a note about Incredible Edibles, a product apparently ahead of its time. Incredible Edibles that made bugs that you could eat. Ricky, do you remember? Ricky's nodding her head. Incredible Edibles. Did anybody else have Incredible Edibles? I don't recall that, but toys like that were very much marketed just to boys or just to girls growing up, at least for me. 412-200-5975. By the way, if you were playing Guess Who, it's hard for us to acknowledge all of the guesses coming in, and thank you for doing that. You would not believe the number of emails, text messages, etc. We're grateful for so much interaction, but we can't always answer our Guess Who emails. So we'd love to get you on the radio. Can we put you on the radio to tell us about something you may have had? Here's one. Some of these prehistoric toys, and some of them still exist, but I had, it was Jeopardy. And the Jeopardy board, how did they do this? There was like a red frame. Or was that the answer key? I think that was the answer key. The Jeopardy board had little cards in it with the dollar value of the question. You fit the answers behind this frame, and you could say, the answer is, and pull up the little card. And I think the questions that matched to the answers, you had to decode by putting like a red piece of plastic in front of text that needed to have the red put in front of it to be readable. You remember that? Yeah. Maybe you can explain that. We had Password, and then Ricky's favorite game, and one I like too, Racco. And I don't think they make Racco anymore. Racco was a heck of a lot of fun. 412-200-5975. That was in the family of card games that included things like Pit, Corner on Wheat, where all Americans became a farmer, or actually all Americans became commodity brokers. I wonder, what were they? In Racco, you had wheat. Or not Racco, in Pit. Does anybody remember? Because I was just thinking, let me look. Game of... Could I have a little browsing music, please, while I do this? Game of... Not Game of Thrones. Game of... It was just Pit, right? P-I-T. A fast-paced card game. Designed to simulate open outcry bidding for commodities. From Parker Brothers. Developed by Edgar Case. Inspired by the Chicago Board of Trade. I'm just looking. Okay, let's see. Various editions of the game, and they've included barley, corn, coffee, oranges, oats, soybeans, sugar, and wheat. And there was also a bull card and a bear card that you could use. And I was just now musing that, like, we ought to have oil and coal. We could have solar, wind, and we could, like, make a game based on energy. That's, like, my idea for scissors, rock, paper, which I think should be magnet, hard drive. What was the other one? Magnet, because a magnet can erase a hard drive. The data on a hard drive can ruin a career. So I think it was magnet, hard drive, human. The data on a hard drive can ruin the career of the human. The human can throw away the magnet. The magnet can, you get the idea. Do you have any any toys you'd like to share with us or memories of this? Please call us and join us on the radio. 412-200-5975. 412-200-5975. Mike says, I still have my game of Racco. And he works at a game store and mentioned that he's had inquiries for the game of Racco in the past. I was looking for an electronic version of Racco, and I could not find one anywhere. Oh, what is the... Oh, the Incredible Edibles. It's a... this is great. Kathy, I think... Is this Kathy who sent this? Actually, I'm not sure who sent this. But thank you, whoever, I don't recognize, please text us back. You know who you are. Somebody just sent us. I'm going to see if I can use a process of elimination to figure out who this is. But they sent a picture of Incredible Edibles. Oh, that's Kathy. Okay. Kathy, I should have recognized you. And it's a beautiful... where did that go? Hang on. There it is. A picture of these 1950s line drawing people cook up some fun, frightfully delicious, sugarless, incredible edibles. What a great little box. Here comes Mary in Blonox. Hi, Mary. Oh, I had one of these, a light-up yo-yo. One of my favorites. If you could make it spin, it would light up. So I got really good at making the yo-yo spin. She also had an electronics kit. No diodes, just simple circuits to light up small bulbs. Mick in St. Clair writes that he had the original Risk game. The pieces were made of wood, not plastic. And then he mentions Shrinky Dinks. I vaguely remember Shrinky Dinks. If you have any memory to share of these games, I hope you'll call us. We have open lines right now. We can get you right on the radio without any delay whatsoever. 412-200-5975. 412-200-5975. Or 1-888-752-7234. I think I had one of those light-up yo-yos. And I also think, I know I had the, what was called the Dunkin' Butterfly yo-yo. The Dunkin' Butterfly yo-yo, which was kind of a yo-yo that was built backwards. Lines are open again, 412-200-5975, 412-200-5975, 1-888-752-7234. We hope to hear from you. A moment ago, our lines were busy. They're open right now once again. And Bruce, what do you have to tell us about? Good morning.
Well, Larry, while I was thinking, I was telling Ricky, I myself, two sisters and a brother, so we had basically almost everything you could have, like at that era. But I was thinking of a couple of things. I had the model of the submarine from the TV show Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea.
Oh, you just reminded me of the aircraft carrier we had. It was gray with all these little white planes on it. And my hamster Lance used to like to ride it in the bathtub. At least I thought he did.
Well, I had the submarine, and I also had the spaceship from Fireball XL5.
Wow.
Do you remember that?
I don't.
It was the TV show was, there were some sort of marionettes for the characters.
Huh.
And I think it was actually from England.
I vaguely, so I had this. Yeah.
They had a robot. Ravi the robot was on this thing, and his head looked like an upside-down water glass. You could see it lighting up inside like a tube, like a radio tube.
I'm vaguely remembering this marionette program, kind of like England's answer to Davy and Goliath in stop-motion animation.
Yeah, except they were marionettes, so you could see the strings. But But while I was waiting on hold, I thought of one of my favorite things I had when I was a kid. I had a game called Photoelectric Football.
Photoelectric. Okay.
Photoelectric Football. So everybody had the game where you had the vibrating football field.
Yes, we had that one.
Turned it on. Well, this was kind of more for the cerebral type. Is you would play it, and then the person on offense would have a bunch of papers with that had the plays on it, the offensive plays on it. So you put your plays face down on this. It was basically a box with a light bulb inside. Actually, it was a box with a light bulb inside. You put your offensive play down, face down. Person playing defense put their defensive play face up on top of your play. And then there was lines that's up to line them up.
Yeah.
Then you would slowly pull this sliding piece of cardboard out, and the light would shine through the two pieces of paper and reveal the result of the play.
Oh, wow. So photo and electric, both.
Right.
That's definitely a step up from the vibrating plastic tines beneath the square base of the football players, where the most exciting thing about that vibrating game was, I think, that the kicker's foot moved and it like was hinged and moved back and forth, right?
And then after you carefully lined everybody up and turned on the vibrating, all 22 people ran in like 22 different directions.
Yeah.
You know, the running back that you put the little ball on in his hand, or like kind of like tucked it on him, and you turn it on and he would immediately spin around and go into the... Everybody would actually eventually wind up in the corners of the field.
Yes, it just wasn't much, and you eventually just learn to enjoy putting things on the vibrating field. If you're wondering what this is, you had like, what, a 18-inch by 24-inch metal surface that just vibrated,
yeah, you know,
and these football players would entropy would ensue.
I don't know. So that's why we thought photoelectric football was the thinking man's football game.
Yes, and I would say, you know, in between those two would be the triangular paper football that you would fold up and play and put across the table, right? If it were...
Oh, that was great at school for study hall.
Yes.
Instead of studying.
And the best part is, if it was ever confiscated, you could just make a new one without much trouble.
I forgot all about that. And then the person, when they scored a touchdown, the other person would make a goalpost out of their fingers.
Right.
And then you would... That was the dead giveaway. When you kicked the ball, it would go over somebody's head, and the teacher would see it.
Exactly. Did you ever play hockey or soccer with pennies?
We did that also.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
You'd put three pennies in a triangle, and you would rapidly put your finger on one of the pennies. The other two would split apart. Man, I feel like we're on the set of Gunsmoke or something. Childhood.
We were, for Thanksgiving, my sister put together a show of slides,
mm-hmm.
you know, from us growing up. So there were a lot of slides of Christmas. And then more interesting than the people, well, it's just me and my family, is looking under the Christmas tree and see what's there.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my gosh, look at the Easy Bake Oven is there. Or the photoelectric football game, or, you know, all these different things, like, you know, that now if you see me, if you go to a museum.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, the pitchback is what got me thinking about it. When somebody guessed Johnny Bench for Guess Who, I remember that pitchback. I think it was my best friend growing up. Who do you want to go trick-or-treating with, Larry? Can we take the pitchback? You know?
Why don't you, the pitchback, then you angled it to change the angle of the ball coming back to you.
Exactly.
And you threw it. If you angled it too high, the ball would go over your head. If you angled it too low, every pitchback would be a grounder.
Well, thank you, Bruce. I got Mary's on hold here. I want to make sure we get to her. Thank you.
Cool. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
412-200-5975. We have open lines and can get you on pretty quickly after Mary here if you wish to tell us about something. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for holding on. And You had mentioned the electronics toy you had to make light bulbs go on and off.
Yeah, I love that. But I'm sitting here listening to all these toys and so many more coming back. I thought of like three more I was waiting on. So the first one, and I don't know the name of it, but all the girls seemed to have it. It went on your ankle. It was a hoop around your ankle, and it had a long rope dangling from that. And then there was like some sort of weighted ball, and you'd have to make it go around your ankle and hop over it with your other foot.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. I think they're making them again. I think I saw one in a store the other day.
Do you remember Click Clacks? You made me think of Click
Clacks. And so when I thought of that one, Click Clacks came back, and they made them of marble, and they used to shatter.
Oops, That was, I've mentioned this before, but everybody had Click Clacks when I was in fifth or sixth grade. And one day, everybody was on the playground. Oh, if you don't know, this was like a ring on your finger, suspended from it, two strings leading up to the ring. Each string had a marble attached to it, and you would just move your finger up and down going click, 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 click. It's a pretty annoying toy, and you could also make it go clack if you got good at it, going up and down. And as you said, Mary, it was discovered that the marbles were shattering, and just like in A Christmas Story, they were putting people in danger. It's not really funny, but you could put an eye out. And I remember one day they confiscated all the Click Clacks. It was like the entire the principal came and took away all our Click Clacks for our own good. You had more.
I thought of two more games. Have you ever heard of, I used to call it Millsborne, but I think it's Milesborne. It's a card game about the cars. Like you have a flat tire, you put a flat tire in your friend, and then they have to get a repair before they can continue on laying down miles. And then whoever gets the most miles at the end of the game.
That was a French game, right? I think.
I think we played that.
We played that with the French teacher now and then. She had a deck of those cards.
Bought one not too long ago for my grandson.
Oh, it's a fun game. What's the other one you thought of?
It was just the playground counselor came and just got two sticks, lined them up side by side, and we'd line up, and everybody'd have to jump over the two sticks. And then she'd move one of the sticks a little bit farther. And then we'd continue on until somebody hit the end stick. Because, you know, eventually they got so far, you had to run and then jump. And then if you hit the stick, you were out. And then the last person who could jump over that many, the stick, you know, the sticks being real far apart was the winner.
What a great, I don't remember doing anything like that. That's, that's wonderful. It's amazing how these things come back in your memory. I haven't thought of that game with the three pennies in ages, and we would play that forever. Well, thanks, Mary.
Thanks.
Okay, take care. Mary is in Blonde Ox, 412-200-5975. Full set of lines open now, 1-888-752-7234. If you would like to tell us about a game you remember or an activity that is a little prehistoric by today's standards, Aline in Maine writes that Racco is still around. We got a new game recently. Jeff still has the old pit game. And she has her go to the head of the class game from the 1950s. And sorry, I liked the game Sorry a lot. Mike and Mars sent a picture of Racco. Oh, yes, there it is. Racco, the classic Racco. Here, Ricky, Racco. This could be your next birthday present. The classic Racco and Score card game. With happy people, great family, fun for over 50 years. Everybody's smiling and everybody's head is kind of shaped like an inverted steam whistle on that particular box. 412-200-5975. Incredible edibles. Thank you, Kathy. Oh, and Kathy sent the clackers, the click-clacks is what we called them. But yes, the string with the two balls, popular in the late 60s and early 70s. Let's see who this is. Hi, SLB, you're on with us. Hi, who's this?
Hi, Larry, this is Bill.
Oh, Bill, how are you? Thanks for...
Yes, did you have slot cars when you were younger?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, we had a whole track, and, you know, when you get a curve, you have to get out the encyclopedias and get a little bank so the cars don't fall off. But one Christmas, I got a set of dragsters, and we had a very large living room, two drawing rooms. Probably 20, maybe 30 feet, and I had all straightaways. So when you hit the gas, and the green light went on the Christmas tree, they did a wheel stand. And at the other end of the room were all the pillows from the couch. So when you hit the end of the line, they just flew into the pillows.
That's better than, like, trying to fabricate a parachute to slow them down.
Right, right. Yeah.
You know, I immediately...
Go ahead.
I was going to say...
If you could customize your car, there was actually a slot car plate that you could go and race against other kids.
Oh, wow.
Kind of like Pinewood Derby. You would, trick out your car, maybe fray the contact a little bit. Give yourself an advantage, but it was a destination on a Saturday morning.
I can remember the way we had these HO racing cars that had two little metal contacts on the bottom that went against almost like a trolley would operate, except the contact was made on the bottom. And I can remember the way that metal would smell, a peculiar odor of grease and smoke and
metal. Yeah, like when you're overheating a train engine.
Yeah. What a good memory. Thank you. Good to hear from you, Bill.
All right.
Take care.
Have a great weekend.
You too. Jeffrey in Point Breeze is going to close out our calls for this segment. Hey, Jeffrey.
Hey, it's Jesse, actually.
Oh, Jesse. Okay. I'm sorry. Jesse.
That's all right. So you were talking about the paper football game. I remember in grade school when it would be too snowy or the weather would be too bad, they wouldn't let you out of recess, and we would spend the lunch period or recess period playing playing paper football. But the other one that was similar was table basketball, where you would take a quarter on its edge, spin it, and you had to catch it between your two thumbs, and then you use those same two thumbs to shoot it.
Oh,
and like
yeah.
The paper football, you made a hoop with your hand against your chest on the table, the person across the table from you, and you tried to shoot it in their hoop that they made with their hands.
Yeah.
So that was another fun table game.
You would put your fingers on the table and, like, grab it between your thumbs, right? And then sort of pivot.
Right. You would spin it. Yep.
I forgot about that. Yeah, we did that, too.
Yeah, table basketball. And then the other toy that I remember as a kid that I loved was really simple thing. They were called pinky balls. It was a ball. It was just a pink rubber ball. And they would sell them, I remember, at Shadyside Variety Store on Walnut Street. And it was just an all-purpose ball. And we would play, like, speed ball with it against the wall, at a playground where you would put a square on the wall. That was the strike zone. And you had a pitcher and you had fielders, and you tried to hit the ball. And a single, double, triple home run was based on how far you hit it. You had certain areas you had to hit over a fence or whatever. But that pinky ball was a perfect ball for speedball.
I remember that. And speedball, Bill Luker and I always would say speedball, combining the angst of kickball with the awkwardness of softball for middle school students. Although it was a lot of fun to play speedball. Oh, gosh.
We would play, there was an area in Alderdice High School where we'd play, obviously not during school, but you stand against the wall and there was a square and you'd hit it, and the single through home run was based on what floor of the building, like the windows that you would hit it to. So if you hit it in the fourth floor window, that was a home run. And because it was a softball, you know, tennis ball or pinky ball, no damage was done. But that was fun.
I somehow have a feeling that still goes on. I thank you so much for calling, Jesse. I hope you'll
thank
call
you.
Us again. Take care. Broadcasting live. Thanks for making this a fun half hour together. From historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger, Chad Green, and Alexis Thompson, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP-FM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, WCUC-FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, and internet radio stations and streaming services everywhere, including slbradio.org/radio. A few quick notes. Stu in McCandless still has his Spirograph. That's one that definitely fits. He also has a Super Spirograph and a companion Spirofoil. I don't remember that, those. And Kathy, a Ouija board. We had that same exact Ouija board that you just sent a picture of. Thank you for playing along with us. It's currently National Poetry Month, and it's our pleasure to be sharing poems on the radio every Saturday throughout National Poetry Month. We also have poems that you can listen to at slbradio.org and on our social media sites. Here's Margaret Bailich. This work is entitled Scum, A Day in Couplets.
So I wrote this poem over the summer, and I had to write a couplet every hour for 12 hours. So this is very disjointed. A lot of my work actually is kind of like disjointed because I wanted it to kind of stay true to how I felt that day. So it's called Scum, A Day in Couplets. Margaret Balich. 9. Fingers intertwine like friendship bracelets coming off the high of chastity. 10. Printed like prison, branded by scars, you are a tired page. 11. Small grasp on a cheap pen, performing for yourself. 12. Crinkled bag and outstretched hand, hunger and empty numbers. 1. Flowers wrapped around my neck, choking, biting flesh. 2. Have you ever heard the word eternal in the same sentence as your name? 3. Stained glass in church, spilled wine on my graduation dress. 4. Wood panels you carved into, never enough cerulean. 5. Rebecca inscribed in dirt, sunscreen, chemical seventh circle. 6. Birthmark searching, my hands pressed against your chest. 7. Finally, climax glacier, wreck of cardboard. 8. What is glitter besides chips of my nails, chips of polish?
Margaret Bailich, and again, hear more poems for National Poetry Month at slbradio.org. Coming up, we have 4 honorees from the Scholastic Writing Awards. They'll join us momentarily here at the Saturday Light Brigade.
That's what you get for loving me. That's what you get for loving me. Everything you have is gone, as you can see. That's what you get for loving me. Any new love that I found, moving is my stock and trade.